And with all of the planning and preparation that we've been doing for the holidays, it doesn't matter how many people you're having around the table. Food, of course, is at the center of so much of what we do during the holidays and we celebrate with friends and family. So this particular headline caught my interest. I'm a regular reader of the offerings from theconversation.com. This one says, junk food in the brain, how modern diets lacking in micronutrients may contribute to angry rhetoric. Dr. Bonnie Kaplan is professor emerita at Cummings School of Medicine at the University of Calgary and co-author of the book, The Better Brain. She joins us this morning. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for inviting me to speak to you.
Well, it's good of you to get up with the time zones considered and do the show. So I'm curious on two things. First is that it seems as though, you know, talking about sort of junk food, if you will, that larger umbrella, what they're lacking is micronutrients. Just educate us exactly. What are you talking about there vis-a-vis micronutrients?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that, because obviously we are getting plenty of macronutrients, which are primarily fats, carbohydrates, you know, the sugars that we all like. And we also get enough protein. Those are the large categories that you see on many labels, right? The thing is, we're really not getting the best kind of fats or the best kind of carbs. But anyway, we're getting those macronutrients. Micronutrients is a term that is defined differently by different people, but it certainly includes the minerals and vitamins. These are the smaller molecules which we need in smaller amounts, actually, except for a few of them we need quite a lot of, like calcium. But there are about 30 micronutrients that we know of which are absolutely required in our brain metabolism every single minute of every day. And those are minerals and vitamins. Some people include essential fatty acids like the omega-3s in that category. So there's a little bit of give and take.
So when we look at that, where it's the really is lacking then, based on what I read in your article, is when we consume a large part of our diet is including a processed food, I guess.
Right. Well, I'm going to use the term ultra-processed products, because some processing of our food is actually quite okay. I mean, when you buy a package of, say, frozen peas, there are no additives, no chemicals, most likely, and they were probably flash frozen when they were really fresh. So a certain amount of processing is a good thing. It diversifies our diet. But I think we all know what ultra-processed products are. And they, you know, some people call them junk food. We didn't get to write the title of our own article, my colleague Julia Ruckles and I. And we try not to use the word junk food, but people know what it is. And it is really deficient in minerals and vitamins. May I throw a number out at you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay in this context? So I don't want to get too technical, but there's really good data from Canada and the U.S. showing that over 50% of what our societies are putting in their mouths now in any given year is essentially devoid of minerals and vitamins. It's ultra-processed chemicals. So we are voluntarily doing this experiment, which, by the way, has been done years and years ago, of cutting our micronutrient intake in half. And we know what happens. I mean, it was shown in 70 years ago in research that that results in all the symptoms of depression, anxiety, and even some of ADHD.
So the worry I had when you started to spell all this out is that it really, I mean, it's fun to say, you know, might make people angry or, you know, have these sort of outbursts and your brain is not functioning the way it should. But it quickly gets into this concern over mental health and an extraordinary connection to suicide.
Oh, yeah. So, and you're referring to the Japanese study we cited on the essay, I think. It's really amazing. 50% protection from suicide in people studied over 10 to 15 years in those who were shown to be eating a really whole foods, healthier diet. Now, please don't paint me as someone who's going to say you cannot have a cookie at Christmas, okay?
It won't work. It doesn't matter.
It won't work. And it would be silly. I'm not a purist about anything, and certainly not about food. And there's no point in being dogmatic, and we all deserve a treat occasionally. But don't you notice, Dave, that the current, more recent generations, I'm in my 70s, so younger people, I can say, consider food as a treat all the time. And it's not. Mm-hmm. It's our medicine. It's what builds and maintains our cellular activity, and especially our brain. Our brain is the greediest organ. It absorbs disproportionate amounts of those micronutrients if you're smart enough to feed your brain those nutrients.
Well, it's interesting that in terms of the conversation, because I realize that the likes of you who are literally down in the weeds on this research, and some of this is not new to you, but when you have an exclamation point, figuratively speaking, behind your discovery or your realization, I think then that's where it really kind of gets my attention, because all of a sudden now there is not just a concern, there may be a pathway to better education. You've changed in some respects the meaning of the phrase food insecurity.
Right. Well, food insecurity always struck me as, of course, a very important issue, but also, an awfully soft term. I mean, it's mm-hmm. frightening what's going on. Our prevalence rate of mental disorders has gone up in my lifetime from less than 3% to 20%. The lifetime prevalence, meaning the probability that any one of us will develop a mental disorder at some point in life, according to the World Health Organization, is now 50%. That's crazy. I mean, that should not be. And if more than half of what we're putting in our mouths is ultra-processed products which are free of micronutrients, we can begin to get at why that is so.
Dr. Kaplan, thanks for sharing your insights with us, and I'll direct folks to read the column at theconversation.com. It's good of you to join us this morning.
Thank you. We elaborate on all of this in The Better Brain, along with kind of a path forward, which you alluded to, Dave. So look for the purple cauliflower on the cover, and you'll learn a lot, I think. Thank you very
Excellent.
Much for the time.
Dr. Bonnie Kaplan, Professor Emerita at Cumming School of Medicine at the University of Calgary, and she's talking about The Better Brain is the book that she co-authored. I would push you to the site. It's a fascinating read, as most of the stuff you find on conversation.com.